We're going to take a step back from the day's news now to talk about something that more than half of the U.S. population has or will experience: menopause, the biological process that women go through usually in their 40s or 50s that ends fertility. The writer and comic Sandra Singh Lo has just written a book about her experience with it. It's called The Mad Woman in the Volvo, and she joins us from KPCC in Pasadena, California. Welcome.
I'm happy to be here, Jeremy. Thank you.
Well, why did you decide to open up like this in your book about things that most women never talk about?
Well, I mean, when I was going through this phase, which we're going to call it perimenopause, which is the part that leads up to menopause, the wild hormonal mood swinging. And I think at this particular time, I went and looked at books on menopause, and they all, you know, instead of like, you know, the Medusa head on the cover of The Fanged Woman Screaming at You, which we might actually more sort of associate with menopause, all the books had like a daisy or a poppy or some other flower on the cover and a stethoscope, you know, the seasons of a woman's life. And all the advice was, you know, yes, you're irritated, bloated, you know, you can't sleep through the night, you're angry, you have night sweats, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, the solution is easy. Just cut out alcohol, sugar, and caffeine, and then just drink lots of water and eat kale and take lots of walks, which is the exact same advice they give you when you're pregnant, which is curious. So I think I sort of was craving a book at that time that would really say how it was and what it was like going through that. And so I could, you know, and it really lowers the bar in terms of what, how we hope we're going to be behaving in this particular time.
And when did you first notice that you were starting to go through, as you say, perimenopause?
Well, it was right around the age of 46, which is about the average onset of perimenopause is 46, even though it can start as early as in your 30s and last 4 to 15 years. I mean, my journey is a curious one in this case because it began, I had an extramarital affair.
Right.
After a 20-year relationship. I blew up my marriage sort of in spectacular way. I had gone to Burning Man, of all things, with a bunch of women friends in a bunch of RVs, and we really wanted to see the art. And I think this is sort of part of a hormonal journey that comes. I had kids at 38 and 40, kind of late. And then we had gone to Burning Man, and at which point I realized it was in love with my best friend and business partner of 10 years. So it's like, that's sort of this hormonal wave that people don't really associate with menopause, but it can literally sometimes be like a second adolescence.
Well, and as I was reading it, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt because of the framing of this book, but I was also thinking about being in your husband's position or being in your kid's position, and as you're out there deciding to go forth with your love for this other person, you're kind of blaming it on what's going on hormonally with you.
Well, you know, I think that's a really good question, or it's not even a question, Jeremy. I think it's a statement. And I think, you know, to put a larger frame on it, we used to think of menopause as the change, right? It's kind of when you become who you weren't and you change and you don't make eggs anymore, et cetera. So in 1900, the average U.S. life expectancy was 48. So most menopausal women were, in fact, dead. And since we live into like our 80s and 90s and beyond, menopause isn't the change. Fertility is. That's when that cloud comes down in the middle and you start, you know, cutting up sandwiches and folding socks and serving people. So around 46, when that cloud lifts, it's kind of many things you've been doing sort of automatically, sort of bonding and nurturing and putting other people first, et cetera, that cloud lifts. And so you kind of wake up into another self. And I considered myself in a pretty happy marriage. Everything was going great. You know, both people have to work to put food on the table. And there was a sort of lifting of this cloud in the desert of going, oh my, you know, when have I last felt in love? Here is somebody who I am in love with. And I think before I go on my deathbed, I have to try one more time to find love, which is really not a good thing for society, family, or a tribe. We can't afford to have these people running around sort of falling in love. So yes, it's a very tumultuous tale.
So do you think that it was menopause that prompted you to do this in the first place?
Well, I think I would call it perimenopause. I mean, women are always subject as men are, actually, two different flows of hormones. You know, when, for instance, when a baby comes, the truth may be as soon as the baby comes out, you know, a woman holds that baby in her arms and she looks, keeps looking around the room and says, who's that guy still standing there? Hmm. Oh, it's the dad. You know, I mean, we all go through all these different sort of hormonal fluxes and changes, and the men totally do too. And I think in midlife, around 45, is when people traditionally have midlife crises. It used to be the men that did, you know, they'd get the red sports car and trade down for the younger secretary. And that's a time, you know, I think outside of hormones, when people start thinking, I'm going to turn 50 in a few years, they start thinking about mortality, they think they're halfway through their life, et cetera, and so they may make a big change.
But do you think that you would have had an affair if it hadn't been for the perimenopause?
Well, I mean, it was on a very particular situation. I think it was a combination of that and the circumstances that tilted, that were all there. I think, like most people, I would have just sort of continued in my life. I mean, I think most adults really don't even want to get into these tumultuous like affairs because it's very painful and blows up a lot of things. And it's, man, you better be sure you really want that because it's, you know, it's a terrifying thing to do. So I guess perimenopause and menopause, it triggers change because your sort of emotional and hormonal life and energy levels gets rejiggered. You know, it will rejigger your primary relationships in some form for sure. Even if you don't break up them, they will be reevaluated.
It's Here and Now. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with author Sandra Singh Low, whose new memoir chronicles the ups and downs of entering menopause. And Sandra, you try to do a bunch of different things to combat what was going on with you, different diets. You did a bunch of different exercises. Did anything work?
Many of the conventional, sensible things to do don't work that well. I mean, there's things like reorganizing your sock drawer or taking singing lessons or making sculptures out of clay or getting hobbies. Those can be nice things to do, you know, although many of us just play computer solitaire for 10 hours a day and that's how we get through the day. So I found that these would help in little moments, but in the end, sort of the mood swings and stuff was far more severe than could be handled that way. And that's sort of the journey of this book.
Well, and one of the interesting things that you bring up is that you're going through menopause or perimenopause just as your daughters are going through puberty, that you've got this crazy hormonal thing going on in the household, which a lot of women do now because they're having babies at older ages.
Exactly, exactly. I had mine at 38 and 40. We're getting married later and having kids later. But in a way, it's interesting because in menopause, a woman's hormone levels go back to where they were as a preteen girl, which is really interesting, with a little more free testosterone. So to a certain extent, you know, it's okay to be sort of menopausal and with adolescent or preteen girls because you're all feeling the same things. Of course, in my household, as I describe it, since nobody is having those nurturing fertility hormones, our house can look like that of, you know, a couple of bachelor serial killers living together. You know, cat box is not getting emptied, dishes are piling up, laundry is not being folded. You know, June Cleaver has left the house, so it becomes even more chaotic, although if we kind of watch Family Guy and eat popcorn with Tabasco sauce for hours, that's fine too. So it can be a good thing, I think, arguably.
One of the places that people would look to figure out what to do when they have to go through this, and all women do, is to their parents and what their mother did. And you write about that on page 49 of your book. If you could read that for us now.
Parenting has changed since the 1960s, and that means menopause has changed. Today, we so-called helicopter parents worry endlessly about our children's feelings and budding psychological and intellectual development. We do not throw their gifts at the wall, even when said gifts are thoughtless testaments to a lifetime of my baking for them. I don't bake for them. The bad news that follows is we are not allowed to have gothic moods in menopause any more than we were allowed to have cigarettes and martinis during pregnancy. I will have to manage my menopause without simply hurling things. I will have to discover some more humane, modern, and enlightened methods. The good news, of course, is that unlike my mother, I can actually talk about the changes age has wreaked upon my body. I can talk to my partner and my caring, outspoken children. I can talk to other women. I can, in fact, write an entire book. What can go wrong?
Well, what did happen with your mother, and what did you learn from her about what happened to her during menopause?
Well, my mother grew up in what I call sort of not the Mad Men, but Mad Women era, sort of in the 1960s, Southern California, suburban, you know, orange sherbet dreamscape, when women wore lipstick and heels just to go to the grocery store or the butcher. We had butchers then. So, you know, nobody talked about anything. You know, all we saw was that their mom would be in her yellow June Cleaver apron drying the dishes year after year. And then one day she just started hurling them and no one knew why. It would be they'd hurl a brisket out the window or a leg of lamb through plate glass or one of those big black, you know, rotary telephones. And then mom would sort of retreat to her bedroom, close the curtains, lock the door, and she would remain there for sort of hours, days, weeks. You know, one girlfriend I had, her mom went to bed for 4 years. And there's an incident that I describe in the book when my mother was the same age as I was when I started to go through perimenopause. And we gave her, you know, her birthday present, like 47th birthday present. And we thought since she had so many sort of coats and dresses and belts and purses. She had those things already. I came up with this idea that we would give her a new glass Pyrex baking dish because she clearly loved to bake because she baked all the time. The metal one was rusty. And I remember when she opened the gift and then screamed and like hurled it against the wall saying, "How cruel. This is the way you think of me as your baker." And it was terrifying that your mother suddenly screaming at you. You see me as your baker? That wasn't what we intended. But, you know, that was when things started to go wacky. You know, and as I relate in that passage, you know, my children would never do that today. I would never hurl anything at them, mainly because our children are also, you know, fragile and gifted. And, you know, their self-esteem is really important and active listening is important. So, you know,
it's just not acceptable anymore.
Yeah. Nor is smoking, for that matter.
So what should the rest of us know? What should those of us who are not going to go through menopause know about how to help deal with this situation when it happens and try to make things better, not worse?
Well, I feel that it is going to happen. It is happening that women, you know, because I call us, you know, the triple M's, the middle-aged mothers in menopause, it's a huge, huge generation who, yes, as you said, who are experiencing these hormonal changes. This, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to, you know, fold your socks or cut up your sandwiches or even get my elderly dad's medical tights, deliver them, you know, overnight to him, because they're going, I don't have that nurturing, bonding estrogen cloud anymore that makes me automatically want to do this. You know, I'm starting to not want to do this stuff. So you guys better pick up the load. And I think more of that will happen. And I think it's actually going to be a healthy thing and a good thing, because it may be a way for the madness to start lifting. For instance, today, an average full-time working mother spends more hours per week with her children than a 1950s stay-at-home mother. So the bar for everything has gone so extremely high. It's good if women start to just say, you know what, I can't do this. And of course, by next year, almost 1 in 2 American women will be menopausal, and women 46 or over will be the majority of America's women. The majority. Mm. So clearly, we're winning. We're evolutionary winners. We're rock stars. It's a cool thing to think, you know what? I'm inside this machine. I'm hitting, you know, 50. I may have almost half my life ahead of me. And these are going to be really interesting years, because instead of women being sidelined like your great Aunt Edith with the mustache and the shower cap or whatever, I mean, menopausal and postmenopausal women are running parts of the world and may soon be running more of it. So I think for those of you, Jeremy, I'm pretty sure you won't be going through menopause, but just sort of to be aware that maybe women will start to actually rebalance sort of some of this craziness that's gotten out of control. And, you know, have a sense of humor and relax and stay out of the way when stuff starts flying through the air.
Sandra Singh Lo, the author of The Mad Woman in the Volvo, and you can read an excerpt at our website, hereandnow.org. Sandra, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Jeremy, and good luck.
And while you're there at hereandnow.org, you can tell us your story of going through menopause. Did you find anything that helped? Kale? Walks? Let us know. hereandnow.org.